You're listening to the Physio School Podcast, your guide to becoming a physiotherapist. In this episode, we sit down with Harrison Kettles, who is a current second-year physiotherapy student at the University of British Columbia. During our discussion, we dive into all things UBCPT. Harrison tells us why he chose UBCPT and what his experience has been like so far in the program. We also go over the structure of UBC's program, the various application components required by UBC, the multiple mini interview, and finally, Harrison provides some solid advice for those of you who hope to apply to the program in the future. We hope you enjoy this episode. Hello, future physios, and welcome to another episode of the Physio School Podcast, your guide to becoming a physiotherapist. My name is Anthony Pinto da Costa, and today I'm joined with my top-tier co-host and fellow co-founder of physioschool.ca, the one and only Mr. Reed van der Vleuten. Reed, how's it going today, man?
I'm doing well. I'm waiting for you to run out of ways to introduce me on the show, actually. I'm impressed every time you get on.
Dude, there's no shortage of adjectives, so that's going to be a pretty easy task for me.
I'm looking forward to episode 150. We're digging deep at that point.
You just got to pull up the thesaurus. I can't even pronounce that word right now.
You're good at pronouncing every other one, so you're good. You're fine.
Solid, man. Well, Reed, I must say this episode's uncharted territory for you today, because this is the first time on this podcast where someone here is actually going to be more westward than you in this country, being in Alberta. And the reason for that is because today we have the pleasure of sitting down with Harrison Kettles, who is a second-year physiotherapy student at the University of British Columbia. And during this interview, we're going to be talking all about Harrison's experience in the program so far, how he got there, his future plans, and then some tips on applying to the program at UBC. So with that being said, let's not waste any time, get right into it. Harrison, how's it going today, my man?
Good. Thanks for having me, guys. I have a couple of buddies, Manny and Josh, that are really big fans of you guys, so I feel lucky to be here.
Oh, beauty. Well, shout out to those guys for sure. Appreciate the support. And, before you introduce yourself here, I must say that with a last name like Kettles, man, I feel like you were destined to become a physiotherapist. Like, you must have been born with like a kettlebell in your hand or something like that.
Oh, I would. I really need to get my hands on a few more of those, right?
Especially with the home gym these days, I think it's needed.
Get some monogrammed ones. I think that'd be good.
That's perfect.
I love it, man. Awesome. So, Harrison, let's start open, man. Just tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, who you are, your name, age, kind of where you're from, when and where you did your undergrad. And if you got a fun fact, you can throw that in there too.
For sure. My name's Harrison Kettles. I'm 26. I am born and raised in Victoria on Vancouver Island. And I did my undergrad at UVic in kinesiology, and I graduated in 2019. Fun fact. Couple of COVID hobbies I developed. I got into photography and boxing a little bit.
That's wicked. Jeez. I also know you're a big hiker. I kind of went through your Instagram beforehand, or your physio Instagram at least. You like to get out there, hey?
I like to get out there. I got a couple of buddies that are bigger hikers than I am, so they're kind of pulling me up there with them. And so I'm really lucky to have a couple of buddies that are really big into it. They definitely, a couple of guys, Chris, really kicks my butt up the mountain, but it's really good to get out there, especially with all the great mountains in Vancouver.
No kidding. Any recommendations specifically?
Panorama Ridge is the number one. Like, that's just insane. Actually, it's a long hike. It's not a hard hike. It's advertised at like 11 hours or so to take, which we did it in 8.5 or so, going around the lake and all that stuff. But the view is incredible. Can't be beat.
That's actually the one that I saw on your physio Instagram page earlier today. And I saw it. I'm like, oh my gosh, this looks unbelievable. So, you know, I think between you and I, we could probably have our own hiking podcast, which we can talk about after. But I know we're also here to talk about, you know, your experience going through physio school and up to this point as well. So I wanted to jump into that. And maybe just starting with, like, why'd you choose UBCPT? And, you know, along the lines, did you apply to many other programs? Did you get into any other ones? And just tie that all together for us.
For me, I applied to a few schools in Ontario. I applied to Mac, Toronto, Western. I actually didn't have enough site credits to get to apply to Queens, funny enough. And then UBC were the schools I applied to. I got into UBC Western. I was waitlisted originally for Toronto and then kind of got in late after I'd already kind of accepted UBC. And for me, UBC was, for me, the first choice. I always wanted to live in Vancouver. That was the biggest thing. I've always wanted to live in Vancouver. And it'd be a lot easier to live and work in Vancouver if you've had all your clinical placements in Vancouver. As well as like, I grew up on the island. I like being near the water, and I am not used to the snow that you guys get in Ontario. So, it just seemed the right fit for me. And I was really, really excited when I got accepted to UBC.
I love it, man. Honestly, I would have done the same thing. I love BC. I've been three times, and every time I get on that plane to come home, I'm a little upset. There's a tear that comes down my cheek when I'm leaving, but no, that's awesome, man. So given that you're at UBC, you obviously know a thing or two about the program, I would hope. Could you just provide the listeners with a brief overview of the program? Maybe just talk about how the semesters are organized, when the placements are, how many placements there are, and just the length of the program.
For sure. So the program starts, so I'm in the 2022 cohort. So we started kind of right at the end of August. It's like 26 months straight. So it finishes in like October, like end of September, October of 2022 is when I'll be done. The way it's kind of organized is it changes based off if you're in first year or second year. First year, it starts out as kind of the traditional undergrad format of kind of 4 months of class. And 4 months of class. And then once you finish the first eight months, you start, you go into then your first two placements. And there's six total placements in the program. Each are 5 weeks. And so you start with your first two placements in April, middle of April until like beginning of July, roughly, kind of around there. And then after you finish in July, it's kind of like school placements kind of stuff alternating for the most part until kind of it ends. I've done three placements so far, and I just finished my third placement, which is from November to beginning of November to beginning of to middle of December. And then my next placement, I just submitted my choices for placement, and I'll have two placements starting from middle of February to end of April, roughly, with my last placement starting in August.
Solid, man. Awesome. What have those placements been so far, if you don't mind diving into that?
For sure. So the way the program's constructed, we have five placement requirements we have to make with an elective sixth placement. So we have our placements in acute, rehab, community, outpatient, and chronic disease management, and with a sixth elective one. I have done so far, I've done acute, I've done an outpatient and chronic disease management. I did... my first placement was on the burns ward in Victoria Jubilee Hospital. I had the UBC student-led physiotherapy clinic, and I was just finished private practice placement in a Soyuz.
That's unreal. Like, what a cool first placement experience. And, you know, maybe you'll talk about this later in the pod as well, but was that intimidating going into that first one in a very unique area of PT care? Or were you kind of like, hey, this is a cool opportunity, let me just embrace it?
I definitely wanted to be kind of thrown in to something kind of wild, was what I originally kind of wanted. And it was. Yeah. It was a really interesting experience. I liked it a lot more than I was actually expecting to be honest. Yeah, it was a really, really, really cool opportunity.
No doubt. That's awesome. Well, I know we're going to get into more specifics of your experience throughout the program a little bit later, but I wanted to spend just a little bit more time kind of breaking down UBC's program, like we said, we want to dive into this as much as possible to give listeners the best idea of what the UBC program is, so you can show off, obviously, your pride for the school. At UBC, there's three different campuses, and I was wondering if you could just kind of like dive into that a little bit and explain that a little bit.
For sure. Yeah, so we have three campuses with a newly established, newly establishing Fraser Valley kind of area. So right now there are, we have our MPTN cohort, which is based in Prince George at UNBC, which has 20 students there. We have 80 students in the Vancouver campus, and then we'll have 20 students in the Fraser Valley cohort. This year coming up, the Fraser Valley cohort will be in Vancouver and at the Vancouver campus until all the infrastructure is completely in place. Those are the three kind of cohorts we have, with really all the content's the same. That's kind of covered. All the profs are usually based in Vancouver, with streaming to the other campuses, with the occasional kind of one at the other areas. But the main differences between the different programs comes when it comes to placements. The our northern cohort has to do 4 of their 6 placements in rural communities, and then our Fraser Valley cohort will have to do 4 of 6 in the Fraser Health area, which is actually quite large. It's from, believe, like Burnaby to White Rock to like Hope, so it is like quite a big area. And both like the goals, especially with the northern cohort, it's really trying to increase the amount of practitioners that are staying in and those rural communities and helping those, helping those areas out. We really, especially in BC, we just need more physios in general, but especially those northern and rural communities that are definitely understaffed.
Gotcha. And do you get to choose which campus you go to?
So, it's like, yes, you have, you can have a preference based off of, in your application. And, some of the nice things about the smaller cohorts as well is there's a lower ratio of, CSAs to students, which is quite nice. But some people think in the past, there's been this idea that it's easier to get into either the northern or the kind of the smaller cohorts, but it's not the case. You basically, once you get kind of accepted, it's then kind of preference wise into the different cohorts. It's like, it's just as hard to get into the other cohorts as it is the Vancouver one.
Gotcha. And do students in those cohorts and the separate cohorts, do they ever get a chance to like interact, get to know each other, or is it kind of siloed like that?
It's definitely fairly siloed, and it's hard to get to know people when you're in Vancouver and they're in Prince George.
Yeah.
There has been situations where students have ended up on placements together that are in different cohorts and stuff. Have got to know each other. We've been able to have, like, we did a camping trip that some people came down from Prince George and was able to kind of do a camping trip up in Squamish with us, which was super fun. Yeah, it's a little bit difficult just based off of the distance but between the campuses, and as much as you can get to know each other through online formats.
Yeah, and then you throw COVID in there and it just makes it even more difficult. So yeah,
for sure.
That's pretty cool. I figured there was something that you guys would do to kind of bring everybody together, but yeah, I know these days a little bit more challenging. Hopefully more of that in the future. Wanted to dive into some of the distinct application components at UBC, because, you know, when you were applying to multiple schools, all these application components vary between each school. The first one I wanted to dive into is, you know, UBC requires applicants to have 70 hours of paid or volunteer experience, which involves direct interaction with persons with cognitive, emotional, or physical disabilities at no more than 2 organizations or establishments. So I just wanted to ask you, what did you do to fulfill that requirement when you were applying?
So I was quite lucky. I ended up getting a co-op. So my undergraduate degree was also a co-op program, or an optional co-op program. So my first co-op, I actually was working at a summer camp for high school kids with physical and cognitive disabilities. And to this date, it was genuinely one of the best summers I've ever had. It was awesome. It was tons of fun. And I ended up getting like over like 400 hours, I believe, and in that. And through that experience, I actually, my boss at that job hired me to work one-on-one with her son. And so I did that for the next kind of 3 years of my undergrad. So I was quite lucky and there with getting those really cool opportunities. I filled that requirement quite easily and quite early on in my program.
That's great. And like, that's something that's super important to remember too. You know, if we have any high school listeners or those who are looking to get into an undergraduate program, like you said, you felt lucky, but really you applied to a great program that was going to set you up for success going forward. And I think that's important to remember as well. So that's great. Another more specific aspect of the UBC application is about the references. So I know when I was applying, I required one academic and one more professional reference for my applications to mainly the Ontario schools. But for UBC, it requires two academic references and one professional one. And I was just wondering if you could kind of like dive into that, you know, either who you had, you don't have to name names, obviously, of who provided the references, and maybe how and about obtaining those references, because this is an area of concern for a lot of prospective students of trying to get those.
For sure. So this is when I think going to a slightly smaller university, I found really advantageous. UVic's kinesiology program at the time that I was in it, it's now increased the amount of students it takes in. But when I was at UVic in their kinesiology program, there's only 60 students that get accepted a year. So through that, I was able to basically be on a first name basis with a lot of my professors because it's such a, you know, tight knit kind of group. And through that, I was able to not only just build personal relationships, but then I was able to get directed studies with a few different professors. And so that really helped. Not only have they, you know, had experiences with me in class to be able to talk about grades or projects or anything, personal relationships, as well as like working with them on like research projects, really helped. So one of my professors that I got a reference letter from, I worked in the biomechanics lab at UVic underneath kind of her and another postdoc student working on a longitudinal study assessing and predicting fall risk in the elderly. And so I worked with them for like a year, and so I had a really great relationship. It allowed her to kind of talk a lot, like not just talking about like, I wasn't just a number in a class anymore, right? I was able to talk about grades, talk about experiences, and just actual personal relationships she could pull into the reference letter, which I thought would definitely make it a lot stronger. And on my other academic reference, I had a really cool professor. Only taught a couple courses, so he was a doctor for the most part during the day. So he only taught two courses, kind of at night, and with smaller classes. And so I took two different upper level, like an osteology course and a forensic osteology. So it was really kind of more of a niche kind of course. And I was able to build a really great relationship with him. And I think the biggest thing for me, that kind of how he stood out with we were prepping for the reference letter, is me and him sat down in the Starbucks for probably 3 to 4 hours and just talked about everything I've done for the past like 4 years. And like, so it was a really, he sent me a whole bunch of questions, and basically we were able to just talk about everything. And so he had not only just like the personal relationship he talked about, you know, class experiences and stuff, but he was able to pull from like all these different things that he now knew about me from just like this big debrief kind of thing that we did, which I think made a really big difference in my reference letters. It wasn't just very superficial. Like each one of them could pull in a personal thing, which I think you can definitely tell between a professor who has a personal relationship with a student and one who doesn't. And I think that really comes through in a reference letter. My professional reference was, she was my boss who I did the 70 hours with at the camp with kids with disabilities. And then she hired me to work with her son. So I had a really great relationship with her, her son, her family, over like years. So it was a really strong reference letter, and just I was really quite lucky to have her.
That's incredible, man. I love how you took those reference letters kind of to the next step, because a lot of applicants sometimes think they just need a reference letter and they're good to go, right? But like you talked about, it's the depth, it's the richness of that reference letter when admissions committees are reading. They'll be able to tell the difference between those more superficial ones versus those deep relationships. And the fact that you sat down Starbucks 3 to 4 hours, that's really taking it to the next level. And it really shows that this is a career that you really wanted to go into and, pay dividends for you in the end, which is great. Deviating away from the reference letters, I wanted to ask you about UBC supplementary form. So I know on there you got to talk a lot about some of the other experiences that you've done. So I know you did the camp with kids with disabilities. Can you kind of speak to some of the other experiences that you took on, whether they're PT related or non-PT related, that you put on that application? And then if you just have any other tips about kind of optimizing that form before you submit your application to UBC.
For sure. The supplementary form at UBC has roughly, I think, five or six slots that you can write in for everything about whether it's like scholarships, employment, extracurricular activities, research experience, kind of stuff like that. And so it's quite significant for the amount of things, amount of space it lets you write. And I think for me, at least, I think this is where I stood out a little bit more, was with, because my grades were good. They were competitive, but they weren't incredible. And I think for me, I started really early on the supplementary form and just building up different experiences and stuff. I coached soccer for a couple years, and I was like a trainer for a Vancouver Island Premier League team. So I coached and did that for a couple years. I was a lifeguard because I had to work through all the really nice thing about the UBC supplementary program is it doesn't all have to be volunteer. And so, because for me myself, like many other students, we have to work in order to pay for school. And so I was a lifeguard from like high school all the way through undergrad. So I was putting all my lifeguarding hours on there. And I was at one point, I was lucky enough to be an SNC coach for varsity athletes at UBC, I'm sorry, at UVic, and working with the men's and women's rugby. I actually got to work with Canadian under 20 rugby players as well, which was a super, really cool experience. Because I did co-ops, I had a few other, I put my all my co-ops in. I was able to build up a decent amount of different things, which I think was really important because there's so many slots to fill. And at least for me, I didn't want to leave anything blank. And so whether it's research, whether it was extracurriculars, whether everything else, I was like, if I could put something in here, I'm filling these spots.
Definitely. And how much planning did you put into gaining those experiences? Was this a, first year undergrad saying, hey, I'm going to apply to physio school. I want to be able to max that out because I know what's coming. Or did you get to the application and just sort of realize, hey, I've got all these experiences now?
So I was really lucky to get some advice going into undergrad about this sort of thing. I wasn't 100% sure if I wanted to do med or PT. And I changed my mind in probably my second or third year that I was really, really set on PT. I was kind of going back and forth between the two for a while. And then I started doing co-ops, and I did my first co-op at a physio clinic. And I was like, nope, this is it. 100% I'm in. And I think getting the advice and someone telling me beforehand of you need to be looking for the opportunities like right from the get-go. Because for instance, with all these applications, nothing counts before you started university. So all these experiences have to start when you're in university. You can't take anything from prior. So I was looking out. I was looking out for things early on, which was really helpful, and I think made the biggest difference because I didn't have to cram things into my last 2 years, which a lot of people try to do, or their last year or last of trying to find, oh, I need to meet my hour requirement, or I need to find all these other extracurriculars. I was starting pretty early, and so I wasn't overloaded at any point. Like I coached soccer for 2 years, and think while I did something else a little bit, I was working a little bit part-time and doing all like little things kind of throughout. I did respite care for a few years, I believe 3 years, but like it was once or twice a week. And I lifeguarded like once or twice a week. And then I coached once or twice a week for certain things. And like, I was never completely overloaded with things while trying to get good, good grades, and especially people trying to cram everything in their like last year or two. But that's also the period of time when your grades matter the most. And they're taking your upper level electives and upper level courses way more. They're looking at those way more than your other early courses. So that's why you really gotta be on your game grades wise. And I think for me also that when I'm starting early, I wasn't stressed about meeting certain requirements, especially with my first co-op already completing that. Like, I wasn't worried about checking boxes as much. And it allowed me to, because I had already been slowly building up all these other opportunities, I was able to last minute kind of take cool opportunities that just like presented themselves that I hadn't planned on doing. Like the S&C opportunity, if I was completely jam-packed, I wouldn't have been able to do it. But because I had a fairly manageable case, like workload with school and work and like my little extracurricular other things, I was able to jump on that and kind of do other things. It's just kind of trying to balance it so you're not running yourself too thin in your last year or two, that a lot of students tend to do.
Totally. I think that's great advice. And I think, you know, that really demonstrates a few things. Number one is just that importance of having a mentor going into not only your master's degree potentially, but even undergrad when you know that you have future goals that you want to hit. Number two, a person with a plan is really difficult to beat. And you're an excellent example of that based off of all the experiences that you have. And then with those experiences, like they are not just physio related. You have a lot that are non-physio related too. And that's what we see a lot and actually preach quite a bit is, you know, those non-physio related experiences can be just as valuable as those in a clinic, in a hospital, in a healthcare setting. So that's awesome to hear, Harrison. I've got a question that takes a little bit of a different route here, but I wanted to go back to the interview phase of getting into UBC Physio. And UBC is one of the, I guess, only two schools now in Canada that still utilizes the MMI, the multi-mini interview. I was wondering what your experience was like. Because it's a high stress environment a lot of the time.
It's tough. Like I swear, I think I sweat through my suit. Like I was. It's definitely not a fun experience, but it's something you gotta go through, right? And I think for me, it's a tough interview. And there's not a like you can prep for it. And I think at one point I remember. My friend Caitlin and I, we were sitting in a coffee shop just going over example MMI questions and just like trying to grill each other and just trying to like pick apart things or kind of all that kind of stuff like that. And really just because it was just me and her doing our applications and going through the example questions together that I found quite helpful. And actually I was really lucky. My boss, who was when I was working as a kinesiologist in my kind of year off when I got back from traveling, he grilled me before the MMI interview, and he helped me out with kind of that, and you know, put me in that situation where it's going to be uncomfortable, and you got to kind of get into that uncomfortable situation to I think personally excel. And he really helped because he really picked apart a bunch of my kind of arguments and gave me feedback with that. And I think doing the prep with a friend and with my boss, I think really helped prepare me for kind of walking into that situation, because there's not a whole lot you can really prep for. In all honesty, it's just kind of going over those questions and seeing how you should like craft responses to them and stuff, but it's not an easy thing to prep for, and you kind of just do your best.
It seems like all the pivotal moments for physio school applications happen in a coffee shop for you. First the reference letters, and then practicing for these interviews. So it seems like
really.
Your go-to.
Yeah, I need to start studying in a coffee shop more. Then, if all good things have started happening, maybe I'll remember more before exams by studying in a coffee shop.
That's awesome, man. So another just branching off question for that. So obviously you had a lot of experiences like we touched on a couple minutes ago. Do you find that any of those experiences or just conglomerating all those experiences together to develop you into the person you are today helped out at all on those interviews?
100%. 100%. Like it's just like it's – everyone comes with such a different viewpoint and some all these different experiences that you can bring into your interview, different things that you can talk about. And I think it just helps, like, the more well-rounded you are as a, as an individual, and the more different patient population groups you worked with, I think just helps you just be a, like, be a better physio. Like, it just interacting with a more diverse group of people will only ever do good things.
Absolutely, man. And, like, it just, you know, I think it makes you a more interesting person as well. Just tailors your communication skills, makes you more sharp, all these things, right? When we were talking to Ryan, which was the podcast we did for U Ottawa, he's a first year student there. Like, he was talking about how, you know, a random job that he had back in the day, like, helped him out when he was doing his Casper, right? And it's something that he never thought was going to come back and help him on his physio school application. But all of a sudden he found that he was referencing that. So, you know, all these experiences definitely play their role for sure. Hey everyone, we just wanted to take a quick break from the action to tell you about our sponsor, KenHub. KenHub is an online platform dedicated to make learning anatomy an engaging experience, bringing together multiple learning techniques and using the latest technology to provide a fun alternative to boring old textbooks. KenHub's premium membership includes over 700 articles, 500 practice quizzes and question banks, 100 hours of video material, and 5,000 high-resolution atlas images that will help you learn all aspects of human anatomy. If you're someone who's hoping to pursue a career in physiotherapy, anatomy is certainly something you're going to need to become proficient in. Luckily for you, KenHub will help you get there guaranteed. If you're interested in learning anatomy with KenHub, click the link in our show notes for 10% off their premium membership so you can start learning today. Now, let's get back to the episode. Besides anything you've already mentioned, do you have any general tips for applying to the UBC program?
The biggest one was the talking about getting on stuff early. And then I think that also comes with the research experience. I tried for a while to get a research experience and it didn't come right away. And I think I remember I was, you're going to have to email profs. You're going to have to kind of badger them a little bit in order to kind of get these opportunities and trying to, you know, build those relationships with them. But I remember at one point I've been trying for, like, I think already at this point, because I got my directed studies in my last year. I got all of them in my last year. And I'd already been trying at this point for like a year and a half, maybe 2 years, to try to get something with this one professor. And I've been trying and trying. And then she responded to me. She gave me this opportunity finally. And basically it's like, all right, if you're able to do something this weekend, I need your help with this. And then we'll figure out a directed study for September. And I missed going to Sunfest and seeing Eric Church. And I just was like buckling down behind a laptop and doing some stuff for her postdoc student, but it ended up working out phenomenally. But you got to get on it early, and you got to, especially with research experience. I generally think, especially with the supplementary form at for UBC, that has the research section, and UBC definitely values like the research portion. There's a lot of incredible research coming out of UBC with some really big kind of heavyweights that are doing some awesome work here. And I think that's for me, I think really helped my application and set me apart from other people. As well as not only like if working for a professor is just going to make a better reference letter. So just, I think getting on the research opportunities early as possible, and really trying to make the most of them if you're able to get them.
No doubt. That sounds like a common theme for you, starting early on applications, gaining experience, looking forward to that future. So that's awesome. Let's bring it round circle here. How has your experience been in the program so far? We've talked lots about, you know, what the program is like. We've talked about your experiences getting in, the application, the interview process. How's it been so far? Have you enjoyed it?
It's been great. I've enjoyed it so far. Definitely making the most of it with being starting during COVID. But I've really enjoyed it. I think there's I think it's pretty incredible having once you get in the program, that competitiveness that you have in undergrad of, you know, everyone, like everyone's trying to get the best grades and you're really competing against your other classmates. That really doesn't happen once you get into school. And I think it really became, at least with my cohort, it's definitely more like a family atmosphere. And with everyone just trying to help each other out and working together, and from the very beginning towards, we're all trying to be PTs and we're all helping each other out, right? So I've really enjoyed it so far. I've also been incredibly lucky with my placements. I've had incredible preceptors. I've had really great experiences. So I think I'm very, very grateful for the opportunities I've kind of had in the program with placements.
Love to hear it, man. Especially that, you know, classmates are resources as opposed to competitors once you get into PT school. You know, you kind of drop that undergrad mindset. It's probably the best part about, you know, just being in PT school. You can finally just sit down, learn, take in the content, and just try and become the best PT possible. So that's awesome, man. Outside of the program, so I know you, you know, grew up in BC, but maybe for someone who is applying to BC, who is from outside of the province, can you maybe just touch on what it's like living in BC? Like, I know I definitely could. I love it out there. I could maybe talk about this for hours, but I'll let you do the work there.
I love it. I think it's pretty cool being in BC. I think we have one of the most active populations in Canada. And it's pretty cool. Like, what I love about Vancouver, you're in a big city, but then you can drive like an hour, hour and a half, and you feel like you're in the middle of nowhere. You're in the mountains. You can, it's awesome camping. And just like, there's hiking everywhere you can go. There's, I think in the, with all the North Shore mountains and with Whistler and everything, there's so much skiing and snowboarding opportunities just like right here, not even that far away. There's a, right after I got back from placement, I caught a shuttle just from downtown. It took me like an hour to get up to Whistler. Like, it's just, it's, there's so many cool opportunities. It also doesn't snow the entire time, in the winter here, which is quite nice. And you're right near the water, right near the ocean. UBC is like a few beaches right around it. Yeah, man, I honestly can't say enough good things about BC, to be honest. I could definitely talk for days about it, but, I'm very, very lucky to live in this place.
I've heard the saying West Coast, Best Coast thrown around too many times to count. That's true then, apparently, hey?
If it rhymes, it has to be true.
All right, then East Coast, Beast Coast is going to be, this is going to be a good debate then. We'll have to get you back on. We'll have an East versus West debate. That's awesome, man. Go. No, Anthony and I actually had the pleasure of like meeting up in Vancouver this past summer, and it was unreal. So that was my first experience, and I can't wait to get back. I'm headed to your home city in June here, Victoria. So I'm really looking forward to that as well. But no, I think you did a great job summarizing. That's awesome. I got one more question for you here. What type of PT do you want to be, or what area of practice do you want to work in?
So I'm definitely still, you know, keeping my mind open to a few things, but for me, there's one thing I'm really set on doing. I really want to be a part of the kind of global division of physio, with working in kind of like Africa or other kind of countries like that, in third world countries. I want to do, I don't know, maybe work for the Red Cross or something for a stint, maybe 6 months or something. I don't know, kind of depending on what the opportunities are. For instance, one of the reasons why I really wanted to do that Burns Ward placement was because I really wanted to do this, and I wanted to know, I want to know whether or not I could handle it. And I remember I walked in for the first week, and you know, you have to set SMART goals, right? And I told my preceptor, I was like, all right, SMART goal. And I genuinely said this to her, I'm like, my SMART goal for the first week is to not puke or pass out. And I was like, I want to be thrown in. I don't want you to hold me back. If something happens, sweet, now I know, kind of thing. I want to know if I can handle it. And she was incredible. She has a, she really tried to put me in into some kind of really cool situations, and I was really, really lucky. And I definitely see myself ending up in private practice kind of long term, but working at, for me, it would be pretty incredible with the placements I've had with working at the UBC kind of a student led clinic. The two preceptors there are absolutely incredible. It's actually one of the placements in BC that other universities can apply for. to be at. And I, both Helen and Sally were phenomenal. And with Andrea coming in on Tuesdays, incredible amount of knowledge. They definitely kind of pushed you early on. As it was my second placement. We haven't finished. By the time you do your first placements, you haven't finished all of your kind of manual therapy portion or anything like that. Like most of it is just like, you know, big, huge objective assessment, right? But they're really great about teaching you things kind of as it is based on your patient caseload or things like that. And they're really great at kind of throwing you in and making you kind of figure it out and starting to develop that clinical reasoning aspect. And in a Soyuz, the same sort of thing. It was working in a small town was pretty cool. I've never done that before. I had a lot of really cool experiences. The preceptors were great. It would have been nicer being in a Soyuz in the summer instead of November, but you take it as you can get it, right? But the preceptors in BC are pretty incredible because they know how the program's structured, because it is a little bit different than the other programs. In the extent, like it's not like kind of MSK, cardiorest, neuro, is this kind of continually builds on each other throughout the programs done until the PCE. The preceptors knowing that, and they kind of teach stuff to you based off of, or at least in my experiences, I can't speak for everybody, but in my experiences, my preceptors were able to teach me things that I eventually haven't covered yet, but was specific to the patients that I was kind of treating. And so it's really cool then kind of slowly building on things as the program goes, and then learning things, especially ahead of schedule, and then learning these things, and then the other stuff kind of catches up and you learn addition to it and kind of get a better appreciation for it. And I think personally, I understood stuff a lot more through that kind of way of it's continuing building on each other, as well as everything stays fresh from more so with doing a little bit of neuro each year, doing cardiorest and critical care every year, doing MSK every year. I really like the way that it's kind of digestible that way and keeps it a lot more kind of current.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I like the integration as well. I think, you know, sometimes, especially Reed and I and some of our other classmates, like maybe we learn neuro and then we wouldn't touch it for so long and be like, what did we learn in neuro again? Like, and then, you know, you look at your notes, you start jogging your memory, but when everything's integrated, that's, I think, a really good model. But man, seems like you're having the time of your life. Final stretch coming up. I wish you the best. You look like you're going to do well for sure. And I hope that whole licensing situation works out for you guys as well. Reed, do you have any other final thoughts before we wrap this up?
I do. I have one last question for you. Are you a Vancouver Canucks fan by chance?
100%.
Okay. So I have no ill feelings towards the Vancouver Canucks. I actually really like them, but I wanted to know if you like the chant Bruce, there it is, after your new head coach.
Huge fan. Huge fan.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, they're a lot more fun to watch right now. That's for sure.
Way better. I like it too, but I heard it was getting some heat, or he doesn't like it or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think when you go to a Canucks game and you hear it, it's pretty funny. But he's all about the players and, you know, trying to focus on them. But I think it's pretty cool. I'm excited once we can kind of get back into going to things like that and going to games.
Me too, man. Absolutely.
That's awesome, man. Harrison, any other last final thoughts before we wrap up here? You think you're good?
I think I'm good. Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Dude, honestly, the pleasure is ours for sure. Like that was great. We really appreciate you volunteering your time. A lot of people are going to really appreciate this. I definitely learned a lot. I'm sure Reed learned a lot. And most importantly, I'm sure the listeners learned a lot, which is definitely the goal here with this podcast. But that's great. So guys, wrap things up. If you want to hear more episodes like this, don't forget to subscribe. And if you could please consider leaving us a 5-star review, that'd be great. That will definitely help us to put out the best possible content for you. And if you want to reach out to us on any social media platform, just go into our show notes. You'll see all the links to all of them there. We're pretty much on everything that you can think of. So definitely reach out if you have any other questions. All right, guys, it was a pleasure. We'll see you at the next episode.
Thanks for listening to the Physio School Podcast. If you want to hear more from us, consider subscribing so that you don't miss any future episodes. And if you enjoy this episode, we'd really appreciate it if you wrote us a review so that we can continue to give you our very best. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.